Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
We're better together in prayer. Can you say that to your neighbor? We're better together in prayer. Like, one of the objectives that we had this year was to see more than 300 people come to the prayer summit. And the reason is why? Why did we aim at that goal, even though we want more people to come and pray? What we also do when it comes to life groups, we don't want anybody to meet on the week of a prayer summit. And why? Why do we do this? At the same time, we have no other ministries happening on that night. Everything is on a standstill, and we invite everyone to come to the prayer summit. We ask the small group leaders or home group leaders to come to the prayer meetings. We want the staff, the elders, those in leadership to be there. Why? Why do we say it's the most important meeting of the month? Why do we say this? First, we understand that when it comes to life, when it comes to living our Christian walk, we need to have communion with Jesus, right? We say and we understand that we are in a relationship with Jesus. We say that we are not walking under the banner of religion that focuses on do's and don'ts and legalism, but that we're motivated to live a life that is inspired by the reality of God in our lives through a relationship we have with Christ. I think we all agree with that, right? That we need one another, that we need God. We understand that. It says in James chapter 4, verse 8, come close to God, and He will come close to you. We understand that our call is to get close to God. It's to have this communion with Him, this relationship that is linked to availability, having a focus or attention, and authenticity. So we understand that in a relationship, there's a need for being available, there's a need for focused attention, and there's a need for authenticity. So we know that prayer connects us with Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we need that for our personal growth, and we want that because we are in a relationship with God, and we want to walk with Him, and we want to love on Him, and we want to be with Him, right? And the more you want to be with them, the more you want to be with them. Or the more you were with them, sorry, the more you want to be with them. And I like this quote from Corrie ten Boom. She is a leader that helped the Jews in the Second World War. And she says this, "Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around the center of fear." And so when we don't embrace prayer and we don't walk with God, or we don't walk in closeness with God, we're caught with fear. When we look at the world that we live in today, right? You look what's happening in Russia, and you see North Koreans sending some troops in Russia in that war. And we look at Israel right now when it comes to the Middle East. And we look at the elections that are coming in the States, our neighbors, on Tuesdays. We need God, right? We need the intervention of God. And the thing is, when we worry and we get caught, when we fall on ourselves and we fall on our own understanding, this is where we are caught by fear and we fall in a cycle of worry that brings us nowhere. And this is why it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayers and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we understand that. We understand that we find peace in Him, right? Like when you experience anxiety and fear, and when you see this world just moving so rapidly, we know we can go to God. Wow. Imagine going through all this without God. Where do you go? What do you do, right? We have Him to go to, and we're called to go to Him. So we understand the need for devotion, the need to connect with God. And my prayer is that you would connect with God, that you would grow in your relationship with Him. But there's also a need for us as a church corporately to seek His face and to know Him. One of the goals that we had in this series is to make us realize that we are a people. We're individuals, but we are a people. There's a more focus in the gospel and also in the epistles of we beyond I and me, right? And we need to understand that we are better together. We are better together. We need to understand that. And that was kind of the heart of this series, that we would see our need of each other and that we would realize that we're better together. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We're a people. We are a church, right? And we talked about the call of the local church. And here it says that we're a priesthood, nation, a people of God. And there's so many pictures in the Bible of us as being his people and that we're better together. The Bible gives us picture that we are branches connected to the vine. It's not one branch. And you know how a vine is. Is a branch are interconnected and they're connected to the vine. We also find this example that we are his body and Christ is the head. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And when you look, even the head says, I need the hand, meaning that there's a relationship between the head and the feet. But what it says here is that we are his body and we cannot do it alone. It also says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, that we are a family. We're part of God's household. Also, we find the image that we are a temple and Jesus is a cornerstone and all is built around Christ and we're all stones connected. Paul wrote to churches, not to individual. Yeah, he wrote to Philemon. That's probably the only letter that it's not focused on ministry to say. But he called Philemon because Onesimus, a slave, had turned to the faith and he wanted him to treat him well as he goes back home. But if you look at the letters from Galatia or to the Corinthian church, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Rome, it was to churches. We see Peter wrote his letter to the church in Asia Minor. We see Paul writing to Timothy and Titus personal letters for the church in regard of how the church should function. You find John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So how do you love one another? You got to be in community, right? And the picture that we give to the world is that we love each other. The world is in need of an example. And the only place that they will find an example is through us as we live out the gospel. This happens in community. You think about the Lord's Prayer when it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What we find here is us. It's our. It's a question of togetherness. So it's not just a personal prayer. It's really linked to us as a people. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various form. So just to lay the foundation of what I want to say is that we're called to have devotion to Christ, but we're called to live together and realize that my Christian life cannot be lived on an island. I need to realize that I need one another, that we're better together. So it leads me to this topic, why corporate prayer? Why do we have prayer meetings every month? And in the new year, we'll have more. we'll have more prayer. Like, we're going to be starting, I've already started the leadership, midweek leadership momentum that will happen this Wednesday at 6:30 for marketplace leaders. And you're most welcome. But what we're going to do in the next year, we'll have that every 2 weeks, but every 2 weeks we'll have a prayer meeting also in the morning. So we want to grow in prayer. We want to devote ourselves more in prayer. But why corporate prayer? Why do we come together and pray? Well, first of all, it's our calling as a church to pray. When we stop and read the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, it is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of robbers. You made it everything except God, where the focus was lost, where the focus is not on God anymore. It's on business. It's on this and it's on that. And when we look at the words of Jesus, he said, my house will be a house of prayer. I don't think it has changed. I think that the house, the dwelling that God dwells in, it's the church. And God wants us to commit to prayer. Yeah, individual prayer and our devotion, but also to corporate prayer, because that's the church, right? It should be our main focus to desire him in our lives. It's our first calling before anything else. So why corporate prayer? Is because we are his house. And we come together and we pray because it should be a house of prayer, right? It's not a house of a show, of music, of cafe. It should be a house of prayer first. That's why we say it's the most important meeting of the month. Secondly, it's where we are encouraged, where we encourage each other in him. I look at the prayer summits. It's amazing to see people praying for each other. I look at prayer I've received. I look at prayer that I've prayed over people. It's pretty amazing the ministry that happens when we come together. But it's kind of leaving a prayer summit, a time of praying together, encouraged. And we need that. I'll ask you a question. When is the last time someone laid hands on you and prayed for you? Last time someone laid hands on you and prayed for you. When's the last time? You know, if it makes a long time, you're missing such a blessing. To have someone lay hands on you and pray for you, someone that is hearing God and wanting to verbalize the thoughts of God for you, it's life-giving. It's really life-giving. And we need that. We need to come together for prayer. God meets us in the prayer closet, absolutely. But God meets us too when we're praying together. And look at the invitation that Paul gives the church in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, speak to one another with hymns, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Sing and make melody, making music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to the Lord, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it says in verse 19, speak to one another with psalm, hymn, and spiritual songs. This is where we minister together. We kind of done that this morning. We sang together. We came together. And it's encouraging, right? I heard a testimony of our last prayer summit. Someone was saying, as I was praying, I was hearing the roar of other people, and it was so encouraged. It was so encouraging. I'm not alone in this, right? And one of the plan or the tactic of the enemy is to think that you're alone, but you're not. So when you come and we pray together, when we make this huddle, I believe it strengthens us and it encourages us. And I think it's an important factor and it's an important matter that, yeah, we're better together, but we're better together in prayer. Thirdly, it was practiced by the early church. That's what the church did. You know, the goal of, or the hope of the church is to go back to its roots, right? So we want to walk in orthodoxy, autopraxy, where we practice what we believe. And we love the book of Acts, and we love the early church, and we want to see that in our lives. And one of the things that was present in the early church was prayer. It's all over the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. That was the church. Along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and several other women and the brothers of Jesus, they gathered together to pray. You look at Peter and John when they went when they were going to pray to the temple. They met this beggar at the door called Beautiful, and they said, "We have no silver, we have no gold. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." What an awesome picture, right, of what Jesus can do. But they were going to pray. You look in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They went daily to the temple to pray. For sure, it was not everyone that was able to go daily, but there was basically a prayer meeting every day at the temple. And so it was part of the early church. So when we look at the results of the early church, at the progress of the early church, they realized that they needed to pray together. They realized that they needed togetherness in prayer. So corporate prayer is huge. Jesus said he would reveal himself to us when we're unified in prayer. And he says that in Matthew 18, verse 19. "Again, I tell you that two or three on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, I am with them." You know what? I really believe when the people of God come together in unity, it's not perfect. Like, the church is not perfect. I'm not perfect. We've got issues. But when we come together and we hunger for God together and we desire to see God do a breakthrough together, something happens. It's way stronger, way more powerful than only my prayer. And I'll talk about that in a moment. There's things that we cannot do on our own. And there's some breakthroughs that cannot happen on our own. But it happens when we come together. So when it says to this, two or three gather in my name, I will be in your midst and I will answer your prayer, does that mean that when you pray alone, God doesn't answer? No, he does. But there's different things that God can do and wants to do, and it will happen through corporate prayer. It has its place. It has its mandate. And when we miss on that, we miss on God moving in a particular way according to what he wants to do, because there's this place for us to come together. So Jesus says he will be there. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Listen to that. "So when you're assembled in my name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm with you in spirit." And Paul is saying, I'm with you at heart. But look what he says. "And the power of our Lord Jesus is present." So we come together like this, he's present. When we come and we pray together, he is present. And that's what we want to see. What's the best thing that could ever happen to Gospel Mission Church? It's to see Jesus be here, right? So see Jesus captivate our hearts, where we're in awe of him, we're caught by his beauty, where we're caught by his word, where it resonates in our inner person. And when that happens, everything changes. And so we want to see that, right? And so Jesus reveals himself in prayer. Number five, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place in corporate prayer. When you look in the book of Acts chapter 2, where it says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire on their heads. They started to speak in other tongues. How and when did it happen? Corporate prayer. And the other that were not there missed it. And for sure, God's grace was able to move on their lives later on. But they've missed that time of where the 120 were praying and waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. So it's a big deal. So God could have said, "Hey, at a particular day, you will be in your house and you will do your own stuff and I will come and fill you." No. He says, "Come together as a body, 120, and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit," right? And so it was asked by the Lord for the church to come together so he would pour his Spirit on them. So there's a place for that. It's huge. And we don't realize the importance of it. And especially as we see the days and where we live, there's a need for us to pray together. I like number six. We see breakthroughs in corporate prayer. God works through corporate prayer. We have this example in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So Peter talks about Peter that was in prison. And so Peter was kept in prison, But the church was earnestly praying for God, to God for him. You know the story, right? There's an angel that came to free Peter. But the church, they were groaning for Peter. They were praying for Peter to be set free, the church. They came together. And so you see God bring a breakthrough to the point when Peter went to the house and knocked on his door, they thought it was his ghost. They were all confused. You should be in prison. So this showed that their faith was not, they had a human faith like me and you, right? But they were together and they prayed for a breakthrough. I just pray that we would have this revelation this morning, that we would see the need for us to come together and pray. I know that life is busy, and I know there's a lot of moving pieces, but may we understand the importance of us praying together. Like Andrew Murray said, when we work, but when we pray, God works. And I think that when we come together and we seek his face, it's amazing what God can do. Number 7, we get empowered together in prayer. I look at Acts chapter 4, after the disciples were told not to mention the name of Jesus. And they came together and they prayed. And when they heard this, they raised their voice together. They raised their voice together at the same time. They just roared their prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And they continue. And if I catch up at verse 29, it says, now, Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak the word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your servant, holy servant Jesus. And after they've prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. It happened in corporate prayer. They were together. It was beyond just you and someone else in their home. They came together, and they were able to experience this awesome moment where God moved. The place where they were shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were able again to do the work of the kingdom. Amazing, right? Number 8, God leads and speaks in corporate prayer. And this is how they function. The early church went to prayer, God, what are you saying? In Acts chapter 13, in the church of Antioch, it says, while the Antioch church were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. For sure, there was a process of sending them off. They just leave. But the thought was, yeah, we understand the call of God on them, and we understand they had to leave. But God spoke in the corporate prayer. You had the elders, you had the prophets, you had the fivefold ministries that were there, and God confirmed that he wanted them to go forward and to reach the nations. So that happened in the corporate prayer. A last one, 9, is there are things bigger than me. There's things bigger than me. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, Solomon is asking for God to show up in the temple. He said, if you're not there, God, what's the point of having this temple? And God responded, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Here you see the people, a body, a nation that says, God, we repent. We walk away from our sins. We want you to heal our land. And God does that. And he responds to that. It's a cry for revival together, where we desperately want to see God move upon our land. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I urge then first of all that requests, prayers, intercession, and things even be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. It says here that we're called to pray for kings and all those in authority, and we're called to pray, intercede, and thank God for those that are fighting, for those that are serving, and for those that believe the ways of the Lord and they give themselves for that. Little snapshot, I had the chance last week, I flew in last weekend to Ottawa, And I was invited with 8 pastors to go to the Parliament Hill. And so so Monday and Tuesday, and if you understand what's happening right now on the Hill, is election is in the air. Right now, the Conservative government is seeking election, and they had the support of the Bloc Québécois. But now what they were waiting for was the NDP to jump on board so they can call election. And so that's where I was on the Hill, so there was a lot of moving parts. But what we did is we were able to meet, 20 more MPs. And we stretched our hands to meet with the leaders of different parties. We had the privilege to meet with the leader of the opposition, Pierre Poilievre. And we were able to approach them. And one of the first thing that was asked of them is, what do you want? Why are you here? And we said, the reason why we're here is that we want to thank you for serving our nation and thank you for your sacrifices. And what can we do? What can we pray for you? What is on your heart, and what is your need? And to my amazement, is that you can see there's some people on the Hill that are really seeking to see God move, and they're there fighting for the right of life when it comes to different things that are debated and voted on. And I was just caught up with the need to pray. You know, sometimes we look at the Hill and we say, why don't they do this and why don't they do that? But there's some people there that they love God, cross-denominational. I met with this amazing French guy. I had the privilege to talk in French too. And this guy from a Christian Orthodox faith, how he loved God and he wanted to see the ways of God being on the Hill, and he was discouraged. Or was able to lay hand, pray, and just ask God to move. There's such a need for our nation for God to move. Such a need for God to move upon our land. And I think one of the ways by which God wants to reveal is through corporate prayer. As we come together and we seek the Lord, and we ask for him to move upon our land, to move upon the Hill, the Capitol Hill, to move upon Manitoba province leaders. And it's so important for us to receive this call. You know what happens? I had to repent because I'm caught in my little world looking at church and all this. And I look at Ottawa, honestly, sometimes and say, what? And my heart was caught by the need to pray for the Hill. And I was saying, like, I have to bring that to the church. I've got to get the church on board to pray, yeah, individually, but also that we come together and we pray for revival upon our land. And we pray for the right people to be in the right place. And for God to raise up leaders in our nation and to see God move in a supernatural way, because we need it so badly, right? For those that have no hair or have been on this planet for a while, you see the regression, right? But at the same time, there's a rise of God. And it's not like a lose situation, it's a win situation, because God is on our side. But God wants to cooperate with us, and he wants us to stand and do the fight. We're in a spiritual warfare. You are in a warfare. When it comes to yourself, your family, the church is under attack, but our nation too. And God calls us to stand in the gap and to pray and to ask him to move. Imagine if we do that corporately. Imagine if we practice 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If we pray, humble ourselves, we go before God, it says that he will heal our land. So we need healing upon our land. But I think it's conditional. You know, it's conditional. Can I be bold with you? I don't know if that's going to go online here, but one of the reasons why our nation is the way it is because the church has not played its role. One of the reasons why we see this crazy world is because the church is passive and we're just doing our own stuff. We get involved when it concerns me. When it affects me. But we don't see the domino effect on what's happening on our nation. And I believe it's time for us to respond to the call to say, God, I want to go beyond my Christian life. I want to go beyond just coming to church. I want you to empower me. I want to make a difference in my world. And I want to commit to prayer and see the need that we have to pray together. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.